And then we'll sing. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Father, for Lynn being able to be here this evening after having the work done on her teeth this morning. And thank you, Lord, for the brevity of my appointment up at Abbey Geldon and for myself being able to be here. I pray, Lord, please, that you would bless her time in your presence. That you would be with Dr. Shine and Frank and Colin and Christine and Marianne and Will and John and Lord, all those that have been and gone. I pray for restoration for them. I pray, Lord, for your children everywhere in these last days, Father, that we would open our eyes and make good use of the time. Thank you for loving us. And we pray, Father, that you be one of our number. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're in the wee hymn book this evening. We're in the wee hymn book. This time we're going to be singing hymn number 11. If anybody has a hymn that they'd really, really like for us all to sing this evening, I'm open to suggestions. But we're going to begin with number 11. This is a familiar one. It's in our book of familiar hymns, so it should be good.
Thank you. John. Thanks for being brought.
Tonight's reading is from the book of John, John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father is Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Then I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath not it in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and that the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen.
Like those verses, especially verse number 6 there. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We appreciate that. Normally this is the point in the service where we open the floor for any prayer requests, any thanks, any church news. Does anybody have any of those? Yes, Mrs. Bradley.
I have a prayer request for Jen Asquith.
For Jen Asquith.
She had a baby by cesarean section 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she's had nothing but trouble, and she's looking at a fourth surgery.
Oh,
I think something happened with her bowel, and they're having to go in and clean stuff out. So they would appreciate it.
Anybody else got any prayers? Or I would like to say I am glad to be here and not sitting up on a hospital ward. And
praise the Lord for the offer.
Yes, church, not hospital. Ling had, does that qualify as dental surgery today?
Yeah.
And you're here.
Yeah.
Ling in church, and not dentist, and not home.
Market church, not an opal.
That's just what I put down. That's just exactly what I put down. Glad to be here. I'm glad to not have to be in the hospital. I tell you what, makes you glad to be sitting out here whenever you see all of the people that are traipsing in and out of hospital. We were talking to a wee lady called Liz Stewart, and we had a wee prayer with her, and we would appreciate if you would just remember Liz Stewart. She wasn't expecting to be in hospital either, but she was in for a biopsy, which is normally not good news either, and they found that she had some sort of infection, and she was told to bring her toothbrush and her pyjamas because she wouldn't be going home. So pray for Liz Stewart. Amen. I don't think there's anything else. Is there anything else?
We're going to pour it down tomorrow.
Yes, does anybody want to come? Plenty of room at number 13 Kilcom Lane Park. Plenty of room at 13 Kilcom Lane Park. Can't think of anything else, is there? You may not have noticed, we gave you a key for the back door. We put covers on the keyholes so the weather doesn't get in. So that's done. But Norman thought that the outside of the church, that we didn't have enough work to do over the next few weeks. So he has decided to, and quite rightly so, to put a beautiful strip up all the joins of all the big panels on the entire church. That's what those rows of stuff were for. And it's to keep the weather out. Now, the panels that were put on the church, they're thick steel with a treated plasterboard for strength and for heat and one thing and another. We have a number of those old boards out the back of the church, and because they are very specialist, nobody will take them away, so we have to leave them open to the weather for months until the plasterboard will fall off. So months and months of rain on those panels open to the weather, so we can scrape the plasterboard off, and then we can put the plasterboard in one bin and put the metal in another bin. So we're having to do that back there, but we don't want that to happen to the walls. So we're putting a strip of butyl down the gaps between all the panels, and that will keep the weather out for decades, I hope. So in 20 or 30 years, still have a church to come to. We might have to get a ramp and a wee meter to get us all in. But so that's us. And can't think of anything else. Yeah, just pray for us for our travels. Is there anything else? Any word, more word needed?
Nope.
No more word needed.
She's got a heart specialist in Dublin. I just went out to see her. I don't know the time. I haven't been speaking to her this week, but she's waiting for a call from her. So.
Yes.
Conrad.
Well, I pray for my brother-in-law. He has, I don't know if you remember meeting Conrad. He's not a churchy man, but we're hoping that he thinks seriously about it. He has had heart problems. He's just a year or two. I think he might be 2 years older than me. Low potassium. And
he wasn't well on Sunday.
And not well. Normally low potassium is a bad sign for the heart, isn't it? Thank you. So please do pray for my brother-in-law, Conrad. I don't know what it is about the connections to the Bradfields and all of a sudden the man taken not well, but I hope that's his.
It might just be the ages.
The warranty's out after this.
Yeah, I think I need a warranty, right?
I got a lifetime warranty. An eternal lifetime warranty. Oh. Private prayer requests. Private. Thank you, man. Lord knows what those are. We have our thanks and we're glad to see those. I think that's about that. Amen. Please do keep praying for the Henry family and for the things, plans we have around the church. And the Lord knows what they are. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, that we still have the freedom to gather together to meet and praise you. Open your word, just to read and start with it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not done with us. That you do persevere on with us tonight. And you love us, Lord, even when we're unlovely. Thank you, Lord, for Ling getting through your dental surgery this morning and even be able to work on through the day. And pray, Lord, that you would just touch her teeth, her jaws, Lord, and give her a speedy recovery from that. And I thank you, Lord, too, for the news that there's nothing seriously wrong inside of me, or at least not with that part of my body, and be able to be here this evening, Lord. It's good to see Norman as well, and Mrs. Bradfield. And I pray you, Lord, for those that aren't here. But I pray you, too, Lord, for Conrad. You know what he needs, Lord. I pray that you would speak to him. That wee woman, Liz Stewart, Lord, for the doctors and nurses and all the folks up at Alton Galvin and indeed all the hospitals, Lord, for the ones that want to do their job. And we pray you too for Edith, that she prepares to have a visit to the heart specialist in Dublin. Remember too, Jen Asquith, Lord, wee girl over in Black Creek, after and the difficulties she seems to be having had this year. I pray, Father, please, that you would touch and heal her well. Please give any doctors or nurses the wisdom that they need to help her out. And I pray, Father, please, that you would set her back on her feet. Thank you, Lord, for your continued protection and provision for Israel. I pray that you would please, Lord, even now, give them miraculous victory after victory. Confound the enemy at every turn. Pray for America. I pray for Great Britain, Lord. And I pray for the governments that really do need to be there. And for all of those governments across the world, Lord, that hate Israel, I pray, Lord, that you would visit the consequences of their actions upon them. And for those that love Israel and love you, please bless us all, Lord. And please help us as we go out into the world, Lord. And Lord, just reach out to us. So thank you for your many helps. And we leave these things at your feet. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. 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 Take our hymn books again. Turn to number 16, and we'll say number 16. Number 16. Number 16 is, he lifted me to fit that stand as we sang. And number 16. Said to John in the book of Revelation, as John fell down on his hands to worship, and he said, I'm a servant, I'm a fellow servant like you, make sure and worship God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, I'm going to do a little bit of hopping, skipping, and jumping here, and we're going to read right the way through, well not right the way through, I'm going to pick another few verses from 1 Samuel 4, but I will guide and direct you there. We're reading from verses 12 to 17. This is the formative years of young Samuel, the young child Samuel, and the ends of the days of Eli. Amen. Worship God. 1 Samuel, chapter 2, beginning at verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, just want you to scoop down a couple of verses to verse 22. Verse 22 begins, "Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how that they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. And if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." Amen. Now, please scoot forward a chapter to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, and a couple of verses from verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 18. Verse 10. "And the Philistines fought against Israel, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a great slaughter, a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." Please follow me down to verse number 18. "And it came to pass when the messenger made mention of the ark of God to Eli, that is, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 13 years. Amen. Amen. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to read your word and be reminded of it in the middle of the week. And pray you, Lord, that you would just help us with our understanding and the realization that we really do need to keep our eyes on you and not be so concerned about what man will do to us. Please help us now, I pray you, Lord, and just give us portions of wisdom and understanding. And the same for our brothers and sisters across the world. We leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will, along with our private prayer requests, Lord. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Before we get into all of this is not a night about sticking up to God's man. This is not a message about pointing out all the failings of even the best of the men that God had in the land of the day. Just in case you weren't quite following along there, Eli was the great high priest of the country. He's getting on a bit in years, and he had brought up his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to take his place and to judge the country, because the land of Israel was looked after by judges who called the people whenever the people were needed. But apart from that, the people, they went and tended to their own business, and they turned up in church and worshipped God. Now, we read on because we're going to talk a little bit about Samuel as well. But Eli had gotten on a bit. His sons were, well, they were undisciplined and they were self-centered. And the third part of that, which is probably the worst part of that, is that they were in positions of power, of authority. They committed fornication and adultery with the women that came to the doors of the church, and they helped themselves to whatever sacrifices and offerings that they wanted, even to being downright rude and cheeky. Because what they used to do is fire the meat into the big seething pot, the big boiling pot, like your mother used to do with the old shin bone, and boil it for soup. And then they would put in like a fork, and they would scoop out whatever the fork got, that's what they got to eat. And on top of all of that, they refused to listen to their dad. And on top of that again, Eli, he never sorted them out. Eli should have had them stoned to death for the immorality that they committed, should have had them stoned to death for being false prophets. For all that they did continually was bring God into disrepute in the sight of man. And so this is the family situation that we have whenever young Samuel comes into it. And young Samuel was prayed for by Hannah, the wife of Elkanah. She prayed, "Lord, give me a son," because she had no children. And her husband's other wife used to give her a hard time about this. So she prayed the Lord, "Give me a son and I will lend him back to you again." That's exactly what happened. So Samuel went to live with Eli whenever he was old enough to look after himself. And the Lord began to deal directly with Samuel, straight away. Everybody remembers the story how the Lord called Samuel whenever he was in his bed one night. And it took Eli a time or two. And Eli told him, "You know, Samuel, the next time you hear someone calling you in your bed at night, just say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" And that's what happened. And the Lord spoke to Samuel, and he told what was going to happen to Eli. He said, "You're all going to die. Because of the way you have treated your office, because of the way your sons have behaved, they've got a death sentence." And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli this. And Eli said, "Tell me everything. The Lord will do the same to you if you don't tell me everything that he said to you." And you know what Eli said? "Well, it's of the Lord. That will be the way it's going to be. Do you know if the Lord spoke to me and told me to wind my neck in and told me to sort myself out, I'd be doing it. I'd be doing it. Even if it was regardless of anybody else, I'd be doing it. Because the Lord, many times the Lord showed mercy to those that repented. Even to Ahab. He showed mercy to Ahab at one point. And that's saying something." So sometime after this, year or two down the line, there's a war between the Philistines or the Palestinians and the Israelis. Doesn't sound at all familiar, does it? Never stopped being a war between the Philistines and the children of Israel. And they beat them. They take the Ark of God. They kill Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons. That's God's judgment on Israel by a pagan nation. And when Eli hears the news of this, he collapses over backwards and he falls off to his side and breaks his neck. And the object lesson is here, make sure that when you're walking with God, that he is your first love and your final authority. Because then you will be able to correct anyone and everyone, including yourself, in your own life, because God is in charge, not somebody else. Save your own life and that of your family too. And it was after this that the young man Samuel, he became the great high priest of the country. However, for all of the great things that Samuel did, He never learned the lesson about raising his children right. I want to read you a little bit from 1 Samuel chapter 8. You can take and turn there if you want, or you can just listen. It's the first 5 verses, and this is what it says about Samuel and his family as the years went on. 1 Samuel 8 says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre," that's money, "and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nation." And so Samuel became the man by whom the first 2 kings of Israel were anointed. Now, like I said at the beginning, we're not having a dig at Samuel and we're not having a dig at Eli. They were great men at one point in their lives, and they were used mightily of God to judge the children of Israel for many years. However, they were just men. Even like Moses. Like Moses, when people talk about Moses, people think about Moses standing by the banks of the Red Sea. And the wind blowing all night, and the waters parting, and the people walking across on dry land. When people talk about Moses, people talk about Moses being up in the mount with God for 40 days and nights, receiving the law, and his face glowing with the reflected power of God. When people talk about Moses, they think about Moses striking the water against the Egyptians and turning them red, and calling all the plagues, the 10 plagues on Egypt, and humiliating and humbling Egypt in the sight of the whole world. But Moses was also a bit short-tempered. And he killed a man for arguing with another man. And he struck the rock that followed the children of Israel through the desert when God expressly told them to speak to the rock. He broke the tablets whenever he was angry at the way the people behaved whenever he was up the mountain. He broke the tablets in his anger. He had his problems too. And it was those things, that quick temper, that made sure that Moses didn't get into the promised land. He saw it, but he didn't get into it. Well, another man, David. When you speak of King David, what do we think of? David and Goliath. We think of David and Goliath. He was called the apple of God's eye. And yet, one day, after lying in his bed all day, he got up and he saw a woman, and he fancied her, and he committed adultery with her, and had her husband murdered. When we think of Solomon, we think of the wisest man in the world. For some reason, thought he needed 1,000 wives and concubines. But back in those days, the wives didn't talk back to their husbands, so maybe he was able to get away with it there. Just like I can here. And he brought so much trouble upon himself because his heart was turned away from God after women, and he ended up, much like David, worshipping devils. If you remember, does anyone remember a fellow called Elijah? Elijah was the man that stood against King Ahab. When it was Elijah that brought the 3.5 years of drought on the land, and Ahab came and said, "Are you the man that's causing so much trouble in Israel?" And Elijah said, "It's not me, it's you, you devil worshipper. It's you, you're the reason for all of this." And he called a fire down from heaven, and he killed all the devil-worshipping prophets, and then he ran away from Jezebel into the desert. And God had to take him and speak to him about it, and gee him up a bit. And forby even that. Men walk with the Lord had their failings. Doubting Thomas Didymus. "I don't believe the Lord is raised from the dead unless I put my fingers into the wounds in his hands and I thrust my hand into the wound in his side. I'm not going to believe it." Or Peter. Remember Peter? Oh Lord, I'll stand with thee. Should the gates of hell come against me, I'll stand. And all the disciples ran from Jesus. Remember, nosy Peter wanted to know what John was going to be doing with the rest of his life. And Jesus said, "But Peter, you've got enough on your own plate. You just leave John to me." Even Paul the Apostle, he was a murderer and a thief. And God took and used him, but he always had that in the back of his mind. The Lord used them all as they gave their lives to him. He used them. The same for you and me. In fact, the Lord actually used Moses and Samuel as bywords. And we spoke about that not that very long ago in Jeremiah 15. I think it was something about you couldn't light them even if they were dipped in chocolate. When the Lord said, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people." You couldn't light them if they were dipped in chocolate, the Lord said. Even though those men interceded for them, I still won't have anything to do with them. And this is what happens whenever you worship and praise men, is that you always look to what you can get away with them. You always look to the lowest standard. We always settle to the lowest standard because our hearts and our minds and our spirits of man is like water, and it always finds the lowest level. And that's what happens when you worship man, because man is an imperfect, a sinful creature. And that is why there's so many warnings in the Bible about worshiping people and worshiping the things of this world that you can put your hands on. Because everything in this world can be stolen, can be destroyed, can be manipulated easily, and even corrupted. But not God. There is nobody in this world that is going to, manipulate God. There is no one in this world that is going to coerce God. We're not going to outsmart God or fool him or pull the wool over his eyes. And there's no one in this world that's going to kill God or stop God's plans. And there's no one in this world that knows what's coming around the next corner. And there's, goodness, no one that ever came to God that God ever lost or left behind or forsook. This is the same God that created the universe and everything in it. And whenever it was all done, he declared it to be very good. It's the same God that gave us life for each one of us in Calvary. It's the same God that intercedes for us daily, keeps us company constantly, and sends angels to minister to us as we need. Gives us comfort. Chastening, we're not that keen on that, but sometimes we need it. He gives us wisdom. A peace that passeth all understanding. Overcoming power. The words to speak. The direction to go. The greatest of purposes. And our daily bread. This is the same God that supplied Samuel and Eli. This is the same God that supplied Elijah and David and Moses. This is the same God that called a murderer and a thief called Saul to be the 14th apostle. This is the same Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And it is his word, probably more hated in churches than anywhere else. It's his word is the only book that shows God to be God and everyone else on the same level. He's in charge. The rest of the hierarchy of Christianity is very, very flat. It's God and us. Nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody's greater than anybody else. In fact, the Lord said, if anybody wants to be great in the Christian life, they should learn to be a servant. His is the only book that gives everybody a fair shake, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a local, whether you're a foreigner. Everyone gets the same opportunity to be saved. Everyone worships and prays and talks to the same God. And everyone that chooses him as Savior can serve him right here and now. You don't need years and years of teaching. If you have a a burden that the Lord has laid upon your shoulders, it's for you. You should do something about it. The thing about it is, he loves us so much that he paid the price for all of it in Calvary and gives it away for free. He's never made a wrong decision or an unfair judgment, somebody said. But the Bible says that the Lord repented of his actions in the Bible sometimes. It does actually say that a few times, but that's when people change. And then the Lord changed from judging them or bringing judgment upon them. He's never made a wrong decision. He's never made an unfair judgment. And no one can ever point a finger at God and say, you did me wrong. He knows even our thoughts. He's aware of them. And you know what? He still loves us. He has the power to do anything and everything. And he knows everything. And he is everywhere. And he would be an absolutely terrifying God to have anything to do with, except for the fact that he loves us. And he wants the best for us. That's his aim. Is to see us persuaded to be saved and opposed if we refuse him. And it's for our benefit. I have discovered over the past few years that it is in my benefit to keep moving and to keep busy and to keep working physically, from a physical point of view. And it is in my benefit as a Christian to read and study and pray and preach and teach the Word of God, because it helps me with them. And that is God's aim for us. And it doesn't matter where you put somebody. You can put a Christian in the deepest, darkest hole, in the farthest away dungeon, and you still can't take him out of the hands of the God that gave his life on the cross of Calvary for him. No matter where you go, you're never beyond the reach of God. So who would be better to worship? A man? And let's be honest, if you were to look at most of our world leaders today, there's a fella, Kim Jong-un, worshipped as God in this country. Does he love his people? Not one bit of them. Doesn't give two hoots about a single one of them. He's an overindulgent, spoiled child with a nuclear arsenal. And I think he's actually kicked off a war with South Korea at this very moment in time. But he's an overindulgent child that is more than happy to put to death anyone that disagrees with him. People like that will do nothing in the interests of others and only in the interests of themselves, because they want to be great, they want to be powerful, they want to be like God. There is only one person like God, and that is God. Isaiah 42 and verse 8 said, God says, something along those lines, I am God, and there is none beside me. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. We can worship a man, just like the people of Israel demanded a king to worship and to serve, who did take advantage of. Or we can worship God, who wants to give us the best advantage that a mortal man can have, and that is sonship of the Son of God and the most noble of purposes. Adoption into God's family and the heritage of God and the assurance of a home in heaven. And he will always do right by us. Even when we do wrong by him, he will always do right by us. We ought to follow God. And I was just reminded of Norman's reading there in John 14. And I would like to close with rereading that. This is what it says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those are the words of Jesus. And he said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. They're in that book. We don't have time to go through them all tonight, but The Lord certainly give us all enough time to be reading at them and to be thinking at them, and the free will and the wherewithal to obey. So worship God. Amen. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate it all. We're going to finish off this evening with number 29 in the wee black book. That's Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Number 29 in the black book. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Tea, and if it's late at night, there'll even be a bed for you to put your heads down on. Amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and then we'll be finished. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little aside from the world. Please bless it, Father, as we go our separate ways. Please look after us, Lord. And just leave all the names that we've mentioned already, Father, and pray, Lord, that you would work not just in their lives, but our lives too. You know all of our needs and all the things that we have ahead of us. I pray, Lord, for the wisdom and the wherewithal to manage it all. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. And thank you for loving us, Lord. Amen. God bless you, folks. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.